Okay, go ahead, Baruti.
I guess the concern, I think if I'm kind of perceiving what Dave is saying, well, I guess my concern about this is that these are really like uncontrollable expenses as far as the stations are concerned. I mean, us getting these chargebacks. I mean, we want to support, you know, the national programming, but I'm just thinking in the BAI situation, we're in a tight, tight situation. So if we get chargebacks that we can't control, I mean, that can, you know, that could be the difference between us, you know, being kind of making the slim budget that we have and us being out of budget, you know, if things get even a little out of control. So I guess I'm kind of leaning towards somehow, I guess next year when we put together the budget for national programming, I know it's unpredictable, but maybe we need to just put more in the National Office for National Programming so we don't have to get too many of these chargebacks.
Could I just respond to that just very briefly?
I'd like to actually go first, if I may.
Fine.
Go ahead. I think you misunderstood my proposal, Greg. I didn't say that LSBs have to approve it. LSBs have gone through a process. We have a whole budget process where we say this is the budget that we're going to stay within. What I was saying is that the national office spends its funds before it goes to the stations. And when it goes to the stations, that the LSBs are notified. Because right now, it's fine for the managers to decide, okay, we'll do it. But the LSBs have no notification of how budgeting for local stations is getting drawn off to fund national programming. And I happen to agree with Baruti. If we're going to need more money in the national office budget, then let's budget for it rather than this thing where you don't really know when it's going to happen. So the proposal is basically that you don't go into the station's programming budgets until you've exhausted what funding we did allocate for national programming. And at that point, there's notification to the LSBs. The idea of the station vetoing is, you know, a whole other question, but that wasn't in, nothing in what I was proposing presumed an authorization. It's notification.
Okay, should I respond now?
Just to
explain that there are two other points. One is that the other informal rule that I have just been informed of today, in fact, that also exists that's relevant to this, is that there's a three-station informal rule that if three stations approve of participation in a program, then it becomes a national program. So that if three stations were not in agreement to actually broadcast it, then it would be kind of a moot point because you wouldn't have a national program. And the other point is that it's a voluntary chargeback. It's not imposed by fiat from the national office, at least not as far as I'm concerned. It's a question for discussion. And if the station managers or the program directors don't want to make a contribution, that's their option. And if three don't want to make a contribution, then there is no national program unless we decide to go off on our own. I just wanted you to understand that point.
Okay.
I would make, too, I would, if I could, that there are budgets at several of the stations for other programming, and they have another programming line just like the national office has another programming line, and they also have a line called programming services. So if you look at your various budgets, the stations have anticipated that they may indeed want to participate in national programming and broadcast. So it's good for their listeners, good for revenue, and they have put some money in their various budgets. Some stations more than others, but most of them have something.
Okay, can I get on the stack?
I've got LaVarne, yes.
Madam Chair, just to let you know, we're out of time again. I'd like a motion to extend for 10 minutes. We're still way ahead of schedule this evening.
All right. Are there any objections to extending for 10 minutes? Okay. I've got on this item, I've got LaVarne and then Ambrose, and I have a couple questions. And then, Patty, I have you for the next topic.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, LaVarne.
Okay. Yeah, just a quick point. I think that we had a rule in terms of if the budgeting went above a certain percent or spending went above a certain percent, that's when you're definitely like in terms of complaining or requesting approval on spending. So we have a few other little caveats or rules that we go by in terms of looking at budgeting and spending. So we have to take all of that into consideration also.
Madam Chair, I couldn't hear what LaVarne said. Can she repeat it?
Oh, yeah, sorry. We also have a rule on spending in terms of if it goes above a certain percent. I think we had 5% or 10%.
LaVarne, you're really breaking up.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to stand. Just a second. I'm sitting a dog, so I'm walking my dog. But the point is that we have certain rules also about spending levels, and if the spending goes above a certain percent, I think one time we had 5% or 10%, then it would either have to be addressed in terms of an explanation or even a request for additional funding. Just when we start looking at the spending, you know, we have to consider those rules that we also have in effect for spending.
Okay. I think we got some of that, LaVarne, but you may have to type something up and send it out to us because I'm not sure we got all of it. Ambrose?
I'll be back in the house in about 5 minutes.
Okay, good. Ambrose?
Plain budgeting requires us to budget on all levels for what we know is going to happen. For example, we budgeted every station for a bylaws convention because we knew that it was the board had made that a national mandate. Well, it's very simple. We know, and we can have the national office accountants tell us how much we normally spent over the last 5 years on national programming. And all we have to do is have every station to budget during the budget process. That's the same budget process. And we also have the central office budgeting as well. It's just a matter of a budgetary process. It's not, you know, charge back. It's not that if you properly budget in the first place, just like we did for the bylaws committee. We do that for national programming. We did that. We created Democracy Now. Every station had to kick in the dough, and every station had to carry it. That's how we created an award-winning show. We've got to do that for everything that we do. Just looking in advance and budgeting and raising the money to do it.
Amen.
Well, you know, the prototype might be the Spanish language show that we're talking about. I think that has great potential. You know, my personal view is even if the stations don't come up with adequate funding for it, that we should look at it priority. I think that building an audience for that is our growth, revenue, and also fairly in our mission.
Are you done, Lonnie?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have butted in.
Okay. Okay, so I just want to be clear, Greg, when you're saying that, did you say that all of the GMs with regard to the NSA hearings agreed to the chargebacks ahead of time?
Yes,
they were aware of them and they agreed?
Mm-hmm. We had a meeting I'm trying to remember the 3rd of February, in which all the GMs except for the, of course, KPFA, where it was Michael Yoshida, and this was explicitly brought up and discussed, and with amounts of money and percentages discussed, and everyone agreed at that point.
And so when you finished that meeting, everyone knew how much money was going to be billed back to them?
Yes, absolutely. And then I confirmed that the following Monday with an email sent out to all of them with the minutes of that meeting and the amounts outlined.
I see. Thank you. And then my other comment was just, you know, with regard to, Lonnie, your comment about, you know, us having other programming money in our budget and stuff. That's correct. Unfortunately, I know that at our station, when we budgeted other programming, we weren't talking about national programming. And so to me, that goes back to the need for a really clear set of a chart of accounts with definitions for what each line item means. Because, again, you know, my guess is that what we have in other programming is not the same as what other stations have in other programming, and likewise with a lot of the items. So I hope that eventually we can get to some place where all of our line items mean the same thing station-wide, station to station.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Is there anything else on this topic of national programming?
Patty, we had something, didn't she?
Well, Patty has another a question on another topic, so I just want to close this one out. Okay, so Patty, you're up.
Okay, thank you. And this is right now we're still in the CFO report, national program, because we have a national fundraising plan. That's
right.
A different thing. Okay, good. Sorry. Okay, what I would like to know is that, Lonnie, you gave sort of like a rough draft or a sketch of the fund drive, but I would actually like to know right here and now as much information as possible. If you don't have it, then anyone from each of the stations to tell me. First, if we could go to KPFA, it was within $20,000. What was the goal, and was the drive extended, or how many days?
Can anyone actually respond to that if you want, since I'm here at KPFA. This is Brian.
Very good. Thanks, please. Thank you.
Our budgeted number of fundraising days for the winter drive was 17.25. In a typical fundraising drive, we end after the 9 a.m. Democracy Now! Plug, so that's why it's a quarter day at the end of the drive. We took out a day from our drive, or most of a day from our drive, to do the NSA hearings. And then at the end of our drive, tagged on a little over half a Sunday. So it came down aggregate to about 18 days of fundraising. So it's about three-quarters of a day over our budgeted fundraising time. The goal for the drive was $1 million. We finished with 974. We also keep our web pledge form open for about a week and a half after the drive ends, because people tend to go to our website and surf for premiums, and we count on about 10,000 more coming in from that that's counted towards the drive total in our financials. So we would expect to be at around 984, 985 when we close the books on this fund drive in terms of dollars pledged.
Okay, that's very good. Thank you very much. Now, KPFK is just starting now, so what's that mean, like a day or two, or what's happening there? Can anyone say
that? We just started on Tuesday. Go ahead.
But I can answer. Last drive we did about 85 the first day and a little less than 60, I think, the second day for about 140 through the 2 days. This time it was reversed. We did about 65 the first day, about 75, I think, or so the second day. So we're just a couple thousand dollars behind where we were. It may be that first day was low because of Valentine's Day. And the latest that I have, hang on, I'll tell you right now, the latest as of early in day three, as of 9 this morning, we were at 160,000. So that's after two days and a morning.
Okay, and KPFT, it's off pace. So can someone translate that into any numbers at all? When did it start?
Sandra? She may be muted.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. The fund drive started on February the 1st. They have extended it through this coming weekend. It was supposed to have ended actually today, I believe. I'm at work, so I'm trying to pull it up on my computer. I'm somewhat limited as to what I can access from here. But needless to say, we're behind our goal as far as the fund drive is concerned. Hence, we've extended.
Okay. And WPFW, do you have any numbers or more things than the drive is going well?
This is Jane. I'm not on top of it. I'm sorry.
I don't have the numbers, but we started on Saturday. And I was in on Monday, and we were ahead of the game. I don't know what it is today.
Okay. And WBAI, last night I asked at the LSB meeting, and nobody had a word. So I'm wondering, we started on February 8th, I believe? So
yeah, that was the first day of drive.
All right. So does anybody know what the tally is now?
Yeah, I have that.
Lonnie said you got an email from Indra. What did the email say, Lonnie?
Let me pull it up. They're 78,000 behind. They've been out 9 days. And total is through, yeah, total is 241,000, 310 gross, but assuming a 78% fulfillment rate, it would net 241. So there.
What is the tally?
What's the gross?
What's the gross?
Gross is 310,000.
In how many days?
And 9 days out. So they're 78,000 off pace.
Hi, it's Sandra.
Can I just say one more thing?
Go ahead.
So just since we are in fund drives and stuff, this took a long time to get this. Can it be like this, like someone have it right away? Or Lonnie, can you possibly get this from the managers before we come on the call so we could have the actual information? It'd be a little easier. But thanks a lot for everybody that had information.
And Sandra, you had something? Oh, I was just going to add on the website, it is showing the goal of 350,000, and so far they've achieved 260,000, almost 261,000 after, 16 days. So they're about $90,000, or they're a little bit short. Anyway, I usually get an email update from Donna, the membership director there, but I don't have access to my email from here at this computer. I'm not allowed to go there. So I just wanted to add that.
Okay, Patty, are you done?
Yes, Patty? I am. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Okay. I just had a couple questions, Lonnie, real quickly. Well, actually only one, and that has to do with the CPA funding. I'm wondering, we got something that said that our account was credited, and typically my understanding is that we get a bill and we send a check. So is there just a change in process?
I'm unaware of that one. You got a bill from CPB, or is that what you're...
No, we got... Usually what happens is you send us checks for our CPB money, correct? But this time our account was credited. We just got a note that said we've credited your account, but it's like $100,000. It was $100,000, which I don't know how those numbers match up to what our... I mean, it wasn't the amount that we would have expected from CPB. So I'm just wondering.
I think we owe you some extra money. It's about $30,000-$35,000 on CPB.
Okay, so, but is there just a change in process that you're just crediting accounts rather than sending checks?
Oh, no, I'll check into that, see why it was that way.
Okay, thanks.
Madam Chair, we're 4 minutes over.
4 minutes over, and we're still on the CFO report. Does anybody have anything else for Lonnie, or can we move the agenda?
Well, can I just do a quick summary of that information?
Okay. We're 4 minutes over, so is that okay with everyone if Lonnie just goes without extending time?
Move to extend 5 minutes for Lonnie to sum up.
Okay, 5 minutes. Any objection?
Well,
you go, Lonnie.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that. That's a good point, Patty. We do need to have those numbers, and I certainly will be pressing for them. Normally they come to the ED, and we will get back in harness on getting the numbers, especially when we got a finance committee. I just wanted to point out, though, that at the rate we're looking at, if WBAI's pace at 78 continues on at this rate, they'll be short, 175,000. I'm sure they have plans to avoid that. And if we pick up 90,000 out of T, numbers, 175 and then 90 puts us at 265,000. So we need to strategize around how to recoup those funds. 265,000 is considerable sum of money to come out of the network's cash reserves. So I just want to point out that I will be talking with folks to see how we can recoup some of those funds.
Great. Anybody else have anything else on this? Okay, so let's move on to national fundraising plans. We've got 30 minutes for this agenda item.
Madam Chair, this is Dave.
Yes. Was
reason,
that you barking?
The reason I put this, no, as a matter of fact, I'll be barking later on. The reason this was put in there was because of an update letter from the executive director to the board regarding national fundraising, and so maybe Greg would want to start.
Would you like me to start now? Yeah.
Please.
I just got out of my car, sorry. Yeah, well, my understanding is that there's going to be a mailing in March. I've worked on, as I said in my note, a fundraising letter with Lonnie and Phil and Fred. And what we're trying to nail down now is where the money for the specific items is coming from. Lonnie is, has been generating that information. I haven't really seen what the line items are. But, you know, this is one of, I understand, three mailings that are planned for the current fiscal year. I believe March, and then there's a 57th anniversary, and then there's a third. I'm not sure on the date on that. My understanding is that, that this mailing is, projected to generate approximately $200,000 based on past performance. That's what I know about it. It's supposed to go out in about, I don't know, something between, 3 weeks. And I included in my report just so that you wouldn't know in advance, that it was happening.
Okay. Is there discussion on this? Dave?
Yeah, I just had a question of how this fits in with, what was budgeted, because last year we had, they made a whole lot of money with mail drops, but on the expense lines there were also, I mean, none of the expense lines had been allocated, and when I got this email I went back and looked at the budgets at the different categories from last year that were overspent on, and I'm wondering, are we within budget on the expenses on these things?
Yeah, I'll answer.
Go ahead.
On the budget this year, what we budgeted around these mail drops is in the national office budget, and it's $227,000 we budgeted for the year. We did pretty much last year, too. What we found is that this is a way to pay some of the expenses, but we don't have to end up charging the stations for various expenses that come up. But it's in the budget, and I'm looking now at what we have in previous years.
Well, I have it. I can actually run through it quickly. The line, may I?
Well, I got it right here. I might as well do it then.
Okay.
In printing and marketing, I'm doing this on projection. In 05, that is fiscal 05 just completed, we spent $238,000 in our development area. And the year before, 2004, $188,000. This year, I'm forecasting that we'll spend $249 on those various areas. What is it spent on? It would be printing and marketing. That is the cost of printing these three mailings. $140,000 is budgeted, and then $75,000 for direct mail postage. So it's most of the $227,000. I'm sorry, the budget is $227,000, and that's pretty much what we've done the last two or three years. And why do we do it? Well, we do it because the revenue produced makes it worth it. Now, question comes up, what happens to all that revenue? I've heard that question many times. I came tonight prepared to answer.
Before we go there, can I ask for a clarification? I'm looking at the 2006 budget numbers, and I only see $175,000 in development expenses, total development.
$175,000?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the area called total development.
I'm looking, let me be specific, I'm looking at cell N1069.
That's actual, yes. I'm talking about what's budget for the year.
It says budget, the N column says budget 2006.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the consolidated budget 2006 values only spreadsheet that was produced on September 8th. Yeah, produced on September 8th. Did that go through another change before it was finally approved?
Looking at the January
income statement?
Yeah.
I'll go there. Thanks.
I've been looking for that January income statement. Can somebody direct me to that?
It is December's full quarter
data. Is that when it was sent?
Yeah. It has three quarters worth of data up through December. And the title of it is Pacifica Foundation Consolidated 2006 Forecast White. I gave it a January 17th date so folks could see when I sent it out.
It's January 17th.
I don't have that.
I have it on, oh, I see. It says January 17th. It was sent on January 20th. It says updates from the chief financial officer.
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
I'll email it to you. Your normal address?
Thank you, yes.
I sent it out to everybody I had emails on. But, you know, and I was trying to get it done in time for that board meeting, remember?
Yeah, I've got it here.
So that folks would be able to see it. And, no, it's not a change. It is, I'm talking about the annual budget in that development area. That compares to what the forecast will be, of course. And then on the right-hand side, on the BI and CO, columns BI and CO, you see what we actually spent in prior years, audit numbers. So it's about what we spend. The reason we do it is that there's lots of reasons, but one of them is the central service money at 17.5% or 20% do not cover the expenses of the legal expenses we've undergone in the network, increasing insurance costs. Remember, revenue's been flat. Therefore, the 17.5% or 20% has been flat, but expenses are not. They continue to go up. Workers' comp goes up. Legal expenses, board expenses go up. And now, have elections coming up, which can be very costly. And, you know, last time we did elections at the network, it was $250,000. And some folks said, what elections? Elections are next year. But they actually start for us in August when we hire a national supervisor election. August and September, we're starting to pay for the election. And if you're going to have ballots out by December, we're starting to engage printers. And that means that we're starting to put out the cash. So it means that a lot of the national programming that does need doing to try to raise some money that way. Now, is there a large pot of money at the national office that we're somehow hiding, or we're not? look at the audit draft. If you look at the audit draft that you folks should have, you'll see that the national office, as of September 30th, after all that fundraising, had only $132,000 in the bank. Compared to $400,000 for, say, K, or $900,000 for A. So we didn't have enough cash, really. We didn't have our 1 month, which was, we spent about $225,000 a month. We had only $132,000. We were short. And next year I'm hoping to have a full month operating so that we can reduce our fundraising. But anyway, I just wanted to clarify what happens with the money, why we do it, do we actually have any in that draft audit how we ended that year. So anyway, that's a quick summary of how much we spend, where it goes, and how much was left.
Patty, Dave, please.
All right, Patty, and then Dave.
Okay. You say here it says, excuse me, various budget expenses that come up. Are these board approved? I mean, do you set your budget up to have these funds like these expenses? I mean, we approve a budget. So are these other expenses that are not board approved that just come up that you need to get some money together? Do you come to us to get the change in your budget?
No, well, actually, all of the expenses are outlined. And say, Patty, say if we want, we're planning, we right now, we're looking at next year. We say we'll raise $400,000 on mail drops for next year. We put them in the budget, and then we proceed to spend those funds in the line items that you see in the expense side. And some of that money will go for everything that we're looking to do, whether it be national programming, salaries, you know, increased costs in insurance. So it's not like it's a pot of money that we just sort of get some mail drops and then can decide what we want to do with it. No, it's already spent. And
is it in the budget under line items? This amount goes here, 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 and here. Do you have that?
Well, as I said, it's spread out for all the expenses that we have. That is to say, if we identify or guess that we're going to raise $300,000 from mail drops in a given year, when we do the budgeting, we allocate all of that to all the line items that you see in this budget. Is that revenue is against it. Now, you're asking, is it specific to, you know, specific line items, that is $400,000 revenue from mail drops will go for the following? No, that's not how any of the budgets are set up. A station may raise $1 million, but on the fund drive, but you don't separate out fund drive revenues from mail drop revenues from other sources of revenue that you might have. It just goes for the expenses of that station as it's spread out through all those line items.
And one more last question on that. Does the fundraising, where you're getting the donors, or where you're looking, are these listeners, or is this outside the listening, you know, we're listener-sponsored, so is this coming from listeners on top of our stations, or is this outside of there, and have we ever had a policy that said that we are, you know, whatever percentage of money we gain is not from listener sponsorship?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I was trying to find out the answer about Pacifica Historic and see how that's gone. Hold on just a second. The drive that we're talking about, when we started doing this, at least when I was here, came here 2 or 3 years ago, for the around the holiday time, the ED would check with all the stations for doing mail drops. Most of the time, the stations were not doing mail outs. And he did ask the stations for, I think, one, if not two, of the drives 3 years ago to use their mailing list, because the stations weren't using it. It was a way of talking to the listeners, asking them to support national programming. Now what's happened is that we are using acquisition lists. Hold on.
You've got mail.
He has mail.
Jane, could I get on the stack?
Now what we're doing, it's all acquisition. That is, we rent the mailing list, a lot of progressive organizations, and we send out flyer, which we have, a mailer, basically asking them to support national programming and national initiatives out of Pacifica, separate from local programming. Now, your question is, how much is there overlap between the folks that we are communicating with and getting money from, between that and the stations? We've been actually doing an analysis of each mailer. Each mailer is different. And we dedupe, that is to say, eliminate station personnel from the station list, from the acquisition list. That is, members of the, say, that are subscribers to Nation Magazine, for example. Our mail house will dedupe any listeners they may have from the station mailing list that we already have. We have them sort of on file. So every attempt is made not to have overlap. Now, is there some that pop up? Yeah. Now, I'm trying to actually see how much pop up there is so I can be more explicit. And I've started that process, and I'll be happy to do a report. But the attempt is made not to infringe on those stations' mailing lists or people who are members of that station. However, I do make the point that even if there was some minimum overlap, that what we see here is that there are station members at the local level who are happy to produce additional revenue for national programming. That's what we find when we do solicitations around national programming. Local station people do and are happy many times pay extra money if it means more national programming. So I will have a report that we did where I'm doing the analysis, but you know, I'm not thinking that it's a lot of overlap at this point.
Lonnie, do you know off the top of your head what your response rate is on those acquisition mailings?
Well, we've been we've been experimenting. We do trial runs with small numbers on each mailing list. But right now, we're looking at 8 or 9% if you count the response of these progressive organizations. It's pretty good. Let me just give you one example. We netted about 500,000 on this progressive mailing list and netted about 200,000 after all expenses. So we felt pretty good about it. It's a pretty, you know, Phil Acevedo is standing by if you folks wanted more details on how those lists were tested and the mailing houses we use and that sort of stuff. He said he'd be happy to come on the call. But I'm happy with the revenue, and it's not necessarily duplicatable every year. I'm not under the illusion that it's easy to do. But right now, it is a crucial part of being able to make up the differences in the cost between what we get in central services and what we need to run a network.
And when you get a response to that mailing, what kind of
point of order?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ryan, I'll put you on. I've got Dave and Jane, and then I'll put you after them.
Three quick items. So I looked at the September 9th budget we have had $175,000. The copy that we have in January 17th has $227,000. So I don't know. I guess it changed, but I'd like to check that to be sure when it changed.
That $227,000 is right. That's what I have before me now.
Okay. Now, am I correct? Patty was asking the question about where is it in the budget. Am I correct that it's in the listener support budget line, that income?
Yeah.
Okay, so listener support is $525,000 budgeted. So, yeah, and major donors is $20,000. We've basically, I don't know if that comes from the list, but so we're spending $227,000 to raise $525,000,
yes,
according to budget. First quick question is, do you think we'll do better than that? Does experience show we'll actually do better than $525,000? So was that a conservative estimate?
Well, I think that we'll probably come around that figure, Dave.
Okay.
I can't see a major increase coming through that door. We're lucky. We've established a relationship. This is like the second year we've mailed to that list, so I don't know what to expect. It may go up, it may go down. I'm just hoping that it remains flat.
Okay. The other thing, the last thing is, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not the overlap with not just subscribership but with listenership might have an effect on fundraising for the stations. And I think the best way to resolve this is for the mailing to include a checkbox which says, are you a subscriber box, listener box, to, and then the stations and the Internet. We should at least get a sense of, whether how many of the people who are responding are already listeners, and at some point we might want to do something with some of that data, figure out some kind of revenue sharing. But I'd like to move that all our mailings include a checkbox query as to whether whether the people are listeners or donors to one of our stations or to the web.
Second. I guess you don't need
them. I object. This is Brian.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, Dave. That was in the form of a motion. Were you making a motion?
I move that the mailings include a checkbox question to determine whether the people giving money are listeners or current subscribers to the stations.
All right. So we'll go to discussion.
Do you want me to respond to it?
Well, Lonnie, you can start out discussion.
Brian already said he objected.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
It's just I used to work in magazine publishing where you do all your subscriber acquisition through direct mail and where they often do fundraising appeals through direct mail. Every time you add anything, even a checkbox to a reply device, you lower your response rate because you make the form slightly more confusing and slightly harder to send back. So the thing to do is to take the list of people who gave to you if you want to collect data and on the subsequent date send a survey out to them because then you won't be hurting your fundraising, although you will have an additional expense outlay.
Okay. Lonnie?
Yeah, I agree. When we're doing these mail things, one or two sentences can turn off a potential... But I'm not opposed to it. But I do think there's a better way to do it. Like I said, if we have a mailing list, we can have our mail house identify how many folks are on the station mailing list and therefore get a really pretty good sense of the amount of cost about if there's any overlap. I just think that's a better way as opposed to including it in the mailing. You can just check against the mailing list and see if these names are appearing on both lists. And I think it's fairly cheap to do. And So I would recommend that we do it that way. And as I said, I prepared, be prepared to bring that report back.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
I'd like to substitute a motion that we ask the CFO to propose a mechanism for tracking subscribership and listenership in the responses from the mailings.
Thanks, Dave. That's helpful.
Excellent.
All right. So we have a request for a substitute motion. Are there any objections to substituting?
Could I ask you to restate that one more time, Dave?
We asked the CFO to propose a mechanism for tracking station subscribership. I mean, whether donors to the national mail drops, responding to national mail drops, are station donors and or listeners.
Well, listeners is a different issue. I have no way of knowing listeners.
That may be the answer, but whatever you can think of.
All right.
Donors.
All right. Is there any discussion about this substitute motion then? Okay, I would just ask that you might want to put in a date for a deliverable and something reasonable given Lonnie's workload.
Ask Lonnie.
Oh boy. I can have it by the end of March because I will have some data back by then.
Fine.
Okay. Is that acceptable to everyone?
This is LaVarne. Hello.
Go ahead. LaVarne,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Could you just kind of state in terms of what you're asking Lonnie to do? I'm trying to understand what exactly you're asking him to do.
Basically tell us what he's going to do by or what he's able to do so that we can get a sense of how much of the money that's coming in from these mail drops is coming in from people who are also donors to stations. And actually, let me say, if I may, one of the issues has to do with our bylaws having to do with listeners, and that is people who give money to stations are members with voting rights, but there's nothing about people who give money to the national getting voting rights. However, there are people who become confused and think that they gave to the station when they give to national. I do hope that the stuff is clear that actually, and maybe the way to do it is a line in there saying, you know, thank you for your donation to Pacifica Programming. We urge you also to support your local station or some such. That might be able to get it to do it. But what I'm asking for is the best mechanism he can come up with for getting us the information of what kind of overlap there is between donors responding to the national mailing and local station subscribers and or listeners.
So let me just kind of restate, I think, what you're saying. Do you mind?
Please.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
So Lonnie gets a list, and it's a list that he purchased from a progressive organization. So you're saying that what he wants, what we need to have done is for that list to go through and do a run against the list of the listeners, and
donor.
Then either when he either does it before or after he receives the pledges or funds, and then you just check that list against the subscriber list or the listener list and see where the duplication is, and you're trying to look at an amount of money that is like is the duplicate of listeners plus what is actually given to the national office through these mail drops.
May I respond?
Yes.
My thinking was we would find out after the fact, after the mailing had been done, we would get information about how many of these people are also subscribers to their local station.
Yeah, and after makes more sense in a way, you know, who gave and who didn't. And also, you know, who got mailed to.
Okay, and you can just run your list against either Mensa's and the list that you have. You can do a match on that.
Yeah, I think so. These mailing house people say they can do it, so I want to give them a shot at it.
Okay, so you've discussed this, and they're saying that they can, so we can determine if they're where they duplicated,
yes.
Where we have subscribers or listeners who are actually contributing in the mail drops, and also their listeners and subscribers to the station.
Well, subscribers certainly, because they send in cash. But I'm going to have them, if I get a list of listeners, they can work from any list we give them. If we got a list of listeners and a list of subscribers, they can work from either one or both.
I think I'm kind of using the terms interchangeably.
Okay.
But, okay.
For non-subscribing listeners, you could do a zip code search and see if there's a variation in response rate from areas that are reached by one of our signals.
Yeah, yeah. They have their ways of doing it, so I think that it is something we need to do so that people can be will need to know if there's impacts, and if there is impacts, what policy we might come up with.
I have a question, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Does the mailing tell these people that there is a station if they're in one of those signal areas and that they can get us online, and does it direct donors to our broadcast?
The thrust of it is basically to ask listeners for support, like we do when we do national programming. It's asking for national programming coming from the national office, and it's a letter usually signed by the executive director.
But I mean, would a person reading that solicitation, if they weren't aware that they had a Pacifica station in their signal area or that they could get it online, is there something in there that says, hey, check us out online, or hey, if you're in one of these signal areas, listen?
No, they're directed to Pacifica.org, and sort of that's the portal that we direct them through.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor that Lonnie give us a proposed process for doing this, and I would suggest that we are able to discuss that once we have a proposal in front of us. I don't want to cut anyone off. I just want to make sure that, you know, we're not going off topic from the motion.
Jane, I'd like to read what I have for Dave's motion.
Go ahead.
He made a substitute motion that we ask the CFO to develop process to track whether donors to national mail drops are listeners and or members of stations, and Lonnie agrees that he could submit proposed process by end of March.
Yeah. Is there any more discussion on that? All right, are there any objections? Okay, hearing none, the motion carries. I have on the stack still, I have Jane and Brian. So, Jane, go ahead.
Yeah, I was getting a little confused there because I thought that when we started this agenda item that David said that Greg had something to bring up on this topic. Did I miss some transition there?
Well, I think I, if I understood it correctly, Greg had sent a report to the PNB, and so he'd asked him to start the topic off. But I'd just like to put out a friendly reminder that if something's on our agenda, that we make sure the documentation goes to the treasurers as well so we can know what we're discussing. So, Jane, did you have more on that, or you were just trying to get clear?
Clarification.
No, I was just proposing to you that this was going to be done. I felt that rather than waiting until after it had been out in the mail, that you should be aware that a mailing was pending. That's all.
This is Patty.
Okay, Patty, you'll be after Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
I was just curious what the renewal rate is for people who acquire through these mailings. In other words, once they've given, when they get the mailing 6 months later or a year later, they ask them to renew their gift. What response rate are you getting then?
Well, this is the first time we're in a renewal mode. We were experimenting the last year or so, checking out which lists were responsive. So this is the first mailing from one we did a year ago. So this is the second time we'll be contacting these folks. The interesting thing about it is, I don't know how it works for folks at KRA, but we're still getting donations from these folks 8 months later in small sums, but it touched a chord with listeners who really apparently liked the idea of supporting directly national programming. Now, we're happy to share that too, but as I say, it takes a while for these things to come into us.
How long?
I can share with you last year's response rates. But I don't have, for this list, this is just the second time we've mailed to that list.
How long does it, Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
How long does it take to start seeing the money back from when the money goes out? You were talking about your cash flow situation at National. is the response going to happen in time to meet your needs at National, or are we going to are you going to be in a cash flow crunch?
The timeline is so bad. I tell you, I wish we had gotten it out 3 or 4 weeks ago. But the answer to the question is maybe, but not for sure. I think that the way it comes in dribs and drabs. You know, you put out 225,000, and month one, I know the numbers are up. Month one is $20,000. Month two, I'm sorry, $20,000 in a month, and month two is $20,000. And then after that, you're into long, a long period. But ultimately, the funds do come in. It just takes, so I'm sure it's that similar to the stations. It takes 6, 7, 8 months for an entire sum to come in from a mailing or even a drive. It takes a while.
Okay, Patty.
Okay. Oh, can you tell me how much this particular one's going to cost?
Oh, this is our big one. We're going to mail out 225,000 pieces, and it's going to cost, this is one since we're using an acquisition mailing, it'll cost us about $80,000, and I expect to get back about $175,000, maybe $200,000. This is a good list, and we've tested it all last year. And as I say, it's a lot of progressive organizations we're mailing to this time, the second time we've done it. And they've been great, you know. They've responded. So this is our golden cash list that helps us get through the year.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I don't understand. You said it'll get us back 160, but you said the first 2 months are 20 each. So does that mean that the bulk, basically 120 out of the 160, come at least 3 months out?
Yep, that's right. It takes a while.
So basically, if you're in a cash flow crunch, you're having to spend 80 up front to get, and it's going to take you at least 3 months to recoup your initial investment.
We have to pay the postage up front. Of course, there's no way around that. But we have an understanding with our vendors that we will pay them as receipts come in, out of the receipts as they come in. That's what makes it possible.
Got it.
Okay. Is there any more discussion on this agenda item?
Move the agenda, ma'am.
Very good. Let's move now to review of available financial data. We have 15 minutes for that.
Madam Chair.
Marnie, you want to lead us out on that? Or go
ahead.
Yeah,
I got enough.
I don't think we have any new financials.
Well, the last financials we reviewed were what?
I'm sorry, this is Jane, just for clarification.
Uh-huh.
Did that motion pass without objection?
It did. It did, didn't it?
As far as
yes.
I know.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
Move
all
the
right.
Agenda.
All right, so now let's move on to working group reports, if any. Let's see now. The working groups are the budget.
General ledger and surplus and reserves.
Yeah. Okay, so general ledger, that's you, Baruti, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I've been in contact with Lonnie. As a matter of fact, Lonnie is scheduled to meet with a software vendor next week, Lonnie, is that correct?
I'm there in New York.
Okay, and I'm going to sit in on that. We'll report back. But as of our last meeting, nothing has happened. We're still basically looking at software packages.
Oh, we're looking at training, too.
Now, what are they going to be showing next week, Lonnie? What are they going to be?
Well, you know, I was figuring that we could combine talking with a vendor. Right now, as you folks know, we're on Great Plains 9, which is Microsoft's product, but... the newest version is 9. We have 6. But talking with this vendor about what the software package options are out there, but at the same time, might have that this vendor, Rich Benjamin, for those who know, Rich, accounting consultant for years, I guess. But have him do conference call trainings where our business managers can get some of their very specific questions answered. So I thought we might combine and have him do a a couple of hours of conference calls with our business managers. They're all excited about it, and it's a way of combining, just getting two things done. And then looking at, well, do we need to change our accounting package? If so, what are the options open to us? It's a big deal. So, you know, it takes time and a lot of details. And yeah, you hate to make a wrong decision with the package. And then there's a lot of people to be consulted, you know, the business managers and GMs, even the banks like to know if you're changing your package, if you'll change the form of their reports, the auditor wants to know, et cetera, et cetera. So we're starting.
Lonnie, is there any kind of a ballpark figure for purchasing this?
Oh, God. Well, I may have to come back to the board and ask for a budget adjustment if we decide to go ahead with it. But these packages now, even some of the less expensive ones, run $20,000 to $50,000, and so maybe we can afford it, maybe not. Maybe we can figure out a way to do this less expensively. But there's only one way to find out: is to sit down and go over all the needs that people have and what it will cost us to meet those needs.
And then when you guys meet, are they going to present more than one type of software?
Yeah, we've been looking over several packages.
Okay, so
we need some way to determine, you know, which one is really best for us, as opposed to what they promise. They all promise everything, but they don't all deliver. So we need an independent person who can give us a real appraisal.
Yeah, I would just suggest that after you get all this stuff and you know you get your priorities from the staff on what everyone needs and what they want to see in the package, that you be able to present it in a way that looks somewhat in the form of a bid.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
So that you're able to show why your procurement went that way.
I'm not going to make that decision. I'm just going to get some options. What's affordable?
Right.
I always worry about money.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Dave, I just want to say the terrible thing about it is always that, like Lonnie said, they never do everything, and they all have their own particular problems, and so you spend a bunch of money and, you know, you may still find that you wish you had a bunch of things that you didn't have. And so I just want to be sure that we're getting enough of a substantial advantage that it merits. And also, in whatever we get, I want to be sure that I know that we find out what the policy of the vendor is on upgrades.
Yeah, we may not change it all and do an upgrade. That may be the best way to go. So no option is being ruled out there. You're right. I've been through so many county packages that all promise the world, and then none of them deliver everything. So you have to take the best that you do.
Okay. Are there any other questions on the GL software work group report?
I have one more.
Okay, go ahead.
What's the key thing you're looking for in the new package? Like, what's the reason we're trying to get a new one? What's the Great Plains flaw that we're trying to fix?
Well, this current version of Great Plains, they aren't going to support anymore.
Oh.
But we upgrade her out, you know? So that's one key reason. The other one is if we do look for a package, you want to fix some of the things with this package that people complain about. I can go into the details, but it's like the current version, at least, is not web-based. We want a web-based package as opposed to having to pay for a server and to go through Citrix, you know, and have the server be down on a network and all that. Web-based might be a better way to go, and we're looking at that since they offered in this new package. And then, you know, you got things like this package has a two-step process for moving items from the subsidiary ledge to the general ledger. You know, that's a bit cumbersome. If we can improve on that, that would be great, because a lot of errors come from people in a hurry, you know, moving too quickly and making mistakes. So we're trying to get a fix for that.
Okay. Any other questions?
Oh, just a comment, Lauren. Lonnie made the point about, I think, a consultant or something doing training for the business managers.
Yeah.
So if we look at a timeline in terms of, you know, when you would like to make a decision, and we look at, you know, where we are in terms of deficiencies in training, what is the trade-off there? I mean, are we going to try to get some training done on this? Like you're saying, you either upgrade on Great Plains or you don't. So just trying to see a couple of things in this. You know, what is the timeline in terms of making this decision? And the deficiencies that are currently there, is there some training that we can do in the meantime?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I was talking with Lois. Lois is certified on our current accounting package, Great Plains.
Right.
So I was talking with her about being one of our trainers.
Right.
She is very good, and I bet you she's cheaper than anything I'm going to find in New York. Well, I approached her and said, could she, you know, we come up with a little curriculum.
Right.
And after I talked with, you know, this fellow in New York, maybe Lois is a better option or a concomitant option. Because I said, that's neat. If you could spend some time with a couple of business managers dealing with specific issues they're having, that would be great. And especially there's an issue of, do you want to spend a whole lot of money on an expensive consultant doing training, or are you going to find ways to sort of get that training done in a, you know, professional way without spending a lot of money? But Lois is interested, and we have a couple of business managers. They can help one another and do training around what they know. But of all our business managers, Lois is the one that's certified on Great Plains, our current accounting software. So Lois is interested.
Right. Yeah, I knew that she was totally qualified.
Yeah,
so then the timeline, then, what are we looking at in terms of this training, either the upgrade, either Great Plains or possibly a replacement or the upgrade?
The training I wanted to do, I wanted to start the training, whatever regimen that is, within 30 days, whether we upgrade or on the current system,
mm-hmm.
so that we could get, you know, fix some things that our auditor brought to our attention that need fixing. So
right.
we don't have to do all this double work. We're doing a lot of double work. We don't want to do it, so we're trying to get the training be as a way to eliminate some double entry work we're doing.